I'm Vermont Edition co-host Bob Kinzel. Just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. It's now clear that the coronavirus is going to have a major impact on all of our lives for weeks, months, and perhaps years to come. As part of our continuing coverage of this local, state, and national emergency, today in the program, we're going to learn how Vermont's Department of Labor is taking steps to help ensure that all employees and employers in Vermont are given the financial resources they need to pay their bills. A little later in the program, we'll have a special update from Representative Peter Welch about the latest developments in Congress to deal with this crisis. But first, I'd like to welcome the Interim Commissioner of Vermont's Labor Department, Michael Harrington, to the program. Commissioner, great to have you here.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's good to have you. We appreciate you taking the time to do this.
I appreciate it, certainly. I was just going to say thank you very much.
Commissioner, I have to believe that your office is now beginning to get a lot of calls from folks who wonder if they're going to be eligible for unemployment benefits. How is your department dealing with these questions and the concerns that many employers and employees might have?
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Things are certainly very busy, as I'm sure they are for everybody. There are a lot of people who have been impacted by the current situation that we're in, and many of those people impacted are worried about, you know, losing their jobs, even if it's temporarily, and the wages that come with those jobs. The Department of Labor is here to help, and we are working through this with them. But certainly, even just in the past 36 hours, 48 hours, things have changed greatly, and we're seeing obviously a high volume of people trying to call and get through. So we're looking at a number of different ways to manage that, including putting more information online wherever we can. We're trying to automate processes around unemployment insurance benefits for people, but again, you know, this is a quick ramp up, and so we're doing everything that we can to try to manage the current capacity issue.
Commissioner, we're going to talk in a little bit with Representative Peter Welch a little later in the program about several stimulus packages that are being considered in Congress. There was the bill that passed the House last weekend. It looks like the Senate is going to give its approval to that bill perhaps today or early tomorrow. It's a bill that expands unemployment benefits, provides both sick leave and paid family leave. How does that bill affect the scope of benefits that will be available in Vermont?
So let me just say, first of all, that if people are temporarily unemployed or permanently unemployed because of this, they have access to benefits. And we have a UI, Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund, that is extremely healthy right now. And so there is not a concern at this point about people not being able to access benefits. There are some current restrictions that the new federal law and even some work that we're doing at the state level through legislation might help. And those are things like types of leave, being able to care for a family member who might be ill as well. And so what it really does is broaden the scope of people who are eligible, and then also provides additional support to the department to expand our operations to be able to handle the number of people who are impacted.
Commissioner, I know that federal unemployment labor laws are very complex. How much flexibility does your office have now in waiving certain regulations and rules to streamline the application process?
You are correct, Bob. They are incredibly complex, both at the federal level and at the state level. And so we are looking at various ways, either at the federal or state level, to release some or relieve some of those restrictions. We don't have a lot of authority to just unilaterally make decisions. There are a number of things, whether it be in legislation or in our rules process, that require us to administer the program in certain ways. Certainly having a state of emergency declared and a disaster declaration help alleviate some of that, but it will really come down to the language that is approved in any of the legislation that's being passed in the end about what options we have. Again, part of that is to also make sure that we're protecting the fund and the way the fund is administered. And so, again, the goal is not to remove all regulation because it's there for a reason, but really to say what are areas that we might be able to loosen our restriction on that allow for more people to be covered.
Today on the program, our guest is the Interim Commissioner of Vermont's Labor Department, Michael Harrington. We're discussing what's going to happen in the weeks and days ahead with folks and businesses and employers who've been affected in many, many different ways by the coronavirus. Perhaps you have a question. Feel free to give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Commissioner, how is your department able to function during these critical times? Do you have a number of employees who are working remotely? How are you managing all of this?
So we are somewhat unique in the way our department is set up, and I don't mean that necessarily in a good way, but because our UI system is built on a mainframe system, we're really limited on the ability for our staff to work remotely because they have to be directly plugged into the system to be able to take claims and file those claims. We have for a while been looking at modernizing what is essentially a 30-year-old system. And for some out there, they might know what I mean when I say built using COBOL language. Those are items of the past. And so we have looked at upgrading those systems and using federal support to be able to do that. But, you know, right now, the system allows for our staff to direct connect to it. And we have people in our claim center, but we've also diverted other resources to be able to take claims because we're expecting a significant influx of calls. And that began as early as yesterday and even last week, but certainly with recent announcements about the closure of restaurants and other food establishments, we expect that volume to increase exponentially.
Commissioner, we have a lot of people who have questions for you. Just before we get to all those, what happens to employees who work for businesses that have had to close down at the direction of the governor, the bars, the restaurants, the associated businesses? Are those folks going to be eligible for unemployment benefits?
The simple answer is yes. I say that because I just want to throw out the caveat that as we talk today about different scenarios, I'll probably be using a lot of generalizations because, as you have said, our UI law is very complex. There are a number of variables that go into assessing someone's claim and then making them eligible for benefits. And there's a wide range of criteria that have to be met. But for all intents and purposes, if someone was fully employed and lost their job, whether it be permanent or temporarily, most of the time those people will be eligible for benefits, especially around the COVID-19 outbreak.
And would that apply to, we were talking earlier about bars, restaurants, schools, places that are directly affected by the governor's emergency declaration. What about the same thing for businesses that are just seeing their business drop off dramatically? I'm thinking now of hotels, ski areas, even downtown stores in many communities are seeing their businesses plummet during this emergency. Do they fall into the same category?
So the best way to explain it is to remember that while it may be the business that's contributing to the UI tax and the trust fund, the insurance is actually for the individual. So it doesn't really matter what the determining factor was. if an employee, again, speaking in general terms, if he was fully employed and for a period of time before being laid off, and they lost essential wages beyond a certain threshold, they would be eligible for benefits. So again, it really doesn't matter the industry. There are some exemptions that are out there, but for the most part, the industries we're talking about right now are relatively covered. And again, it doesn't matter whether they were hourly employees or salaried employees. What it does matter, were they fully employed at the time? Do they have enough essential wages in their base period? And that's a little more technical than we probably want to get. But essentially, someone has to be fully employed and have earned enough money to make them monetarily eligible for unemployment insurance benefits. And so for most people who were fully employed and were for quite a time there before they saw an interruption, they would be eligible.
And Commissioner, you mentioned the high volume just in the last few days, how things have changed dramatically. How is your department dealing with this?
So I want to start by just sharing a story that even happened as early this morning. And so when I showed up to work this morning, I was met by one of the at one of the entrances to our main office by a young gentleman who worked in the food service industry, who had traveled over an hour to come to the Department of Labor's headquarters because he had been laid off. And he was visibly shaken and upset. Clearly, he didn't quite know what was next for him. And I presume that that is the face of many people who are out there right now and affected by this. It's a scary time, not just because of COVID-19, but it's a scary time because they don't have wages and they have families to care for, and they're not sure where their next paycheck or rent check is going to come from. Meeting this young man on the steps of our office today, we were able to spend a little bit of time talking. The best thing I can say is know that the Department of Labor staff are 100% committed to making sure that people get their benefits that they deserve. And it's going to be hard, and it's going to be, it's going to require patience, but we are working as fast as we can to make sure that we get people the benefits they need. And every employee that I know here is 100% committed to every Vermonter. We are seeing a significant increase in calls, obviously. And so I think it's important to note that prior to the COVID-19 outbreak, we were a state that was operating at very low levels of unemployment. And because of those low levels of unemployment, we also were operating on minimum levels of operation and federal funding to operate our program because of the few number of people that were unemployed at any one time. And so what this did was immediately increase and spike the number of initial claims that are coming in, which just quickly overloaded the system. So we have, even as quickly as today, have been able to double the capacity of people taking claims, and probably by the end of the week we'll triple capacity. And we're also looking at other ways, whether through online forms or other ways to take those claims or that information. Because right now the bottleneck is people who are calling in to essentially give us the details of their situation so that we can enter them into our mainframe system in order for them to be issued a benefit check.
Let's go to our callers and start with Elizabeth, who is calling from Waitsfield. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
What's your question?
I'm wondering about more independent people, for example, those who maintain Airbnb. Would there be compensation or assistance for those who have had to turn away a month's worth of clients, for example.
Thank you for your question. Again, we were talking about unemployment insurance, and it sounds like this question may be more geared towards what type of supports are out there for employers. I would defer, at least to some extent, that those are being handled from an economic perspective out of the Agency of Commerce and Community Development. They do have a response team there and are asking employers to contact them, and you can find them online at acc.vermont.gov. And what I would say is that from a UI perspective, it really is about employers who are already contributing to the UI system, and that's what makes their employees eligible. But as you're talking about with support for businesses, I would just say that it looks like in both at the state level, but more so at the federal level, that they are looking at a variety of options that would provide some level of support and relief for employers. And I know our folks at the Department of Economic Development at the Agency of Commerce are working on that. To the extent of what that's going to look like in the end, I don't think we know that yet.
Let's turn to Jan, who's calling from Rockingham. Hi, Jan. Welcome to the program.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling because I'm a volunteer medical driver for a bus company in the southern part of the state. We bring Vermont senior citizens, the most vulnerable, to cancer treatments and dialysis treatments, and normally regular medical doctor's appointments. And I realize that we're not considered employed because we are paid through mileage reimbursement. But would there be any area that I could look at in order to maybe help as my rides stop dwindling? I make about $500 a week providing this service. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan.
And so Jan brings up a good point, and that is maybe one of those areas both in the federal package that's being discussed right now where there may be additional support services. In Jan's situation, I think it really comes down to, I know she was talking about mileage reimbursement, but is she a sole proprietor or an independent contractor, or is she working for an employer? And does that employer contribute into the UI fund? And so, again, like I said, every case is different. There typically isn't a straightforward answer to every one. But in Jan's case, I think if she's not covered under the current unemployment insurance system, she may see relief based on what we're hearing out of the federal package right now.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Our guest today, the interim commissioner of Vermont's Labor Department, Michael Harrington, where he told us earlier in the program, certainly a lot of applications are pouring into his department for unemployment as the coronavirus has a huge impact on many different businesses, be they bars, restaurants, hotels, downtown businesses, just about everything you can think of being affected by this virus. And let's talk to Kristen, who's calling from Winooski. Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me. So my question is based on people that are commission-based. We've read a lot of information about people getting money for being laid off or for having the business closed for 2 weeks or quarantine. But a lot of these businesses are staying open that are commission-based paying. And we're just wondering, as workers, if there's going to be support for us. Thank you.
Kristen, great question. Well, we seem to have lost contact with our interim commissioner of labor. In these times, we are really discouraging our guests from coming into our studios for Vermont Edition. So we're setting up some different lines, technically, to have them join us. In some cases, it's the good old telephone landline. In other cases, we're going to try to use other technologies. One of the ones we're using today, obviously having a few problems. Let's talk to Shannon in Addison. Hi, Shannon. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. My question is that for we're a small business, and for the employer, what you know, all this if our employees have to go on unemployment, what's going to do to our tax rate? Is there any relief for the employer when with all these, when having to lay people off or having to close our doors for whatever reason, you know, being forced to have to do that?
Shannon, that's a great, great question. What kind of small business are you in?
Heating and plumbing.
And so are you finding that a lot of folks, some of your employees, are needing to take time off now?
We're seeing that. We're also seeing the fact that a lot of the people that we service, we can no longer service due to school closings and not being allowed in people's homes. So the lack of business is is definitely being affected. So like some of our temporary help was had to be laid off due to that. A lot of our work is commercial, and with, like I said, with schools closing and with all the restrictions, we do, you know, restaurants. I mean, there's gonna be a lot. There's a lot of reasons why we can't go into places. So it does.
Right.
We don't know how long we're gonna stay open, considering we are a very small business. But we're just curious. I'm like, you know what. You know, what other relief? I understand what they're offering for the employees, but what relief will there be for employers? You know, is that going to, is our tax rate going to go because our employees have to go on unemployment? And, yeah, so that's what we're.
Got it. Shannon, that's a very great question that I'm sure is going to affect hundreds, if not thousands, of small businesses all across the state of Vermont. I believe that we have Commissioner Harrington back with us. Commissioner, are you there?
I am. Sorry to lose you there, but I'm back.
Oh, that's good. Well, while you were gone, Commissioner, we had two excellent questions. The first one came from Kristen in Winooski, and she asked us about those employees who are commission-based. How would they be treated under this system? Let's start with that. How will that work?
Great question. Again, one of those scenarios that really depends on whether or not they work for an employer and that employer contributes into the fund, or whether they're like a subcontractor, independent salesperson, where they're earning a commission and are not contributing to the fund. So again, really depends on the scenario at hand. But if you are working for an employer and that employer, and you are an employee, not a subcontractor, but an employee of that employer, and that employer is contributing and paying UI contributions, then for all intents and purposes, you are covered under the current unemployment insurance system.
Commissioner, we also had a call from Shannon in Addison, who was a small business owner, who wanted to know, looks like she's going to have to lay off a number of employees because she's in the heating and plumbing business and they just aren't able to go out and do the jobs that they normally do in these times. She wants to know, are the tax rates of these businesses now going to go up to reflect the fact that more of their employees are getting benefits?
Shannon, thank you so much for your question. It is something that we have been talking about even for the past couple of weeks. It's important to know that right now, whether it's through the congressional bill that's out there or in our state bill, which I think for the most part has support both in the House. We know it does in the House because it passed before they went on recess, but also in the Senate. We were very explicit, and I know the committee, the House Commerce Committee, was very diligent in the work that they did to make sure that employers would find relief. And so there is a provision in there, and Bob, you and I talked about this a few minutes ago about what we have the ability to change administratively versus what requires a law change. And this is one of those situations when we talk about the tax rate for employers and what impacts those and what up or down and whether we can provide relief. We do not have the authority to do that administratively, but we are seeking legislation that would allow us to essentially freeze the tax rate for employers so that any impact that occurred out of this pandemic would not impact their tax rate. So they would still be contributing to the fund, but we would use the prior year's tax rate for that. And so, again, under the current system as it is, these employers would be impacted negatively, and we're trying to develop a system that would relieve them of that burden, knowing what a difficult situation they are in at the moment.
Let's turn to Rick, who's calling from Plymouth. Hi, Rick. What's your question today?
Yes, my question is wage earners, like waitresses and waiters, that might get minimum wage at best, but the majority of income is on tips. Will that be included in the compensation formula for unemployment insurance?
It would not in terms of the tips. But again, it's really about whether they're monetarily eligible. Considering all the various pieces that are in there, it really is based on what is reported to us. So not only the wage that they're earning, but the staff who are earning wages and then are being tipped also have to report their tipped wages. And so this is where it becomes, you know, having worked in a business in the past where I earned tips years and years and years ago, there was always that conversation about reporting as few tips as possible because you didn't want to have them taxed. And I can tell you that this is one of those situations where making sure you're recording all your tipped wages plays to your benefit because it will ensure that those individuals are monetarily eligible for benefits. And I would encourage Rick or whoever, if there are questions, some of this information is online, but he's also welcome to call us if he has questions about whether he would be eligible or not.
Great. Commissioner, we're almost out of time, but there are a lot of people who are learning today have very unique circumstances. They're quite different from all the different folks we've been able to hear from today. So for those people who are listening right now and we're not able to get through and have a question, what's the best thing for them to do?
The best thing right now for them to do is constantly be monitoring our webpage because we will be posting certainly the hot ticket right now is unemployment insurance, but we are also posting things about job-related services and workforce-related services, as well as health and safety in the workplace. But really, for those people, whether they're employers or claimants, I'm going to give the number, but the number is also on our website, labor.vermont.gov. For those wanting to file claims, the number is 1-877-214-3330, 877-214-3330. For employers who are looking for support, the best number for them to call is 1-802-828-4344, 802-828-4344. And again, we are working on creating an online form for claimants to fill out that should help relieve some of the bottleneck that's in our call center right now.
And Commissioner, I want our listeners to know that we're going to have all this information available at our website at vpr.org. Hard to write down all these numbers and all these different websites at one time. But we want our listeners to be assured that we will gather all this information so that you know where to turn to for some of the questions that you have if you're an employee or an employer. It's a situation that is changing hour by hour. Interim Labor Commissioner Michael Harrington, many, many thanks for taking the time to be on the program today.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you for everybody that called in and that is going through this. The number one thing I can say is just please be patient, and we will make sure that we get to you and you get the benefits that you need.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Congress is now considering several bills to deal with the impact of the coronavirus, and with us now to discuss these efforts is Representative Peter Welch. Congressman, great to have you on the program again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Congressman, the Senate will soon take up a bill that passed the House last weekend that provides expanded unemployment benefits, sick leave, and paid family leave. Initially, some Republican senators had some opposition to parts of the legislation, but as we understand it now, they have dropped that opposition, and the bill is likely to pass in the very near future. Why is that bill, the one that passed the House last weekend, such an important first step?
It's an acknowledgement that if we're going to respond effectively, we're going to have to help workers and small businesses that are going to be so impacted by workers staying home as a result of the declaration of emergency. I mean, I just want to step back for a minute. You know, a couple of weeks ago, none of us ever imagined that we would be dealing with this pandemic. And it's unseen. You can't put a wall up against it. You can't wish it away. And we now have a national state of emergency. We have an aggressive response, of course, from Governor Scott, who I think is doing an excellent job. And it's asking all of our citizens basically to stay home. And that is an enormous impact on our economy and on our day-to-day life. And it's going to be especially tough for small businesses that don't have the cash reserves and for individuals, and this is most Vermonters, who live paycheck to paycheck. So this is where the federal government, the role we have to play is to provide economic support during this crisis and to get us through this crisis. And it's for two reasons. One, because if a person works in a restaurant and they can't go to work because the restaurant's closed, obviously they've got bills to pay. But two, when that person goes home, they're not only helping themselves stay healthy, but they're helping us in the public health response, and we've got to support that. So that second piece of legislation that's getting watered down, I'm afraid, a little bit because of the Senate position, would provide no questions asked unemployment benefits if you get laid off. And I think the commissioner did an excellent job, and we saw how flexible Vermont is being to try to accommodate employees who were laid off. Number two, it would provide paid sick leave for a person who has to do the coronavirus quarantine. And then third, as it was originally passed by the House, it would have provided up to 12 weeks paid sick leave for any individual who was sick or was taking care of a family member who was sick. And obviously, that's really important. Regrettably, apparently, it's getting scaled back at the insistence of the Senate so that those 12 weeks only apply to a person who's laid off and is taking care of a child whose school has closed. I think we do need more than that. But the bottom line here is that we have two things. First, a pandemic that's unprecedented in my lifetime, and it requires an unprecedented level of social distancing, closing of workplaces, closing of schools. Number two, that has an enormous economic impact. And in order for us to get through this, number one, we need a big public health response, people staying home. And number two, we need a big economic response that only the federal government can provide. So my hope is that when we get back to Washington, and we don't even know we'll be there, we'll be working on getting those resources back to our states, our individuals, and our small businesses that they need to be able to fight another day.
Congressman, I'm sure as you travel around the state, you were in Barrie yesterday and you've been traveling to other places. You know, there are a lot of people who have an enormous amount of anxiety right now. They've either been laid off from their jobs or they're about to, or their jobs have been cut back significantly. As you mentioned, you've got a lot of small businesses where their sales are plummeting right now. Just an incredible, desperate economic situation. Can you assure those folks who are listening that the federal government is going to step up and do its part?
I can assure those folks that I'm going to be fighting to make certain that the federal government does step up, because it's real. It's the individuals you mentioned who work in restaurants, who work in bars, who work in the tourism industry. I mean, our ski areas are closed down. Think of all those attendants who put people on and off the ski lifts, or work in the restaurants there, or work in the hospitality industry. So that is brutal. And in fact, when I say we need a big stimulus plan, I'm talking about a $1 trillion stimulus plan, and we need it now. I mean, if we're going to respond to this, we need a big and dramatic public health response. We're getting that. Closing the schools, incredibly disruptive, but necessary. But we also are going to have to face the consequences that economically, this is where the federal government is going to have to come up with a big plan. And the focus of that plan, in my view, has to be individuals, families, replenishing the state coffers when they're having expanded health care costs, and also trying to put some money in the pockets of everyday people who can't pay their bills. I also think that we should be doing things like suspending interest payments on student loans. We should be giving stepping in to waive those credit card late payment fees, and even reduce or eliminate interest for this period when we're in this emergency, because folks who are extended on their credit card are going to face brutal late fees and escalating interest costs. So these are all practical things, and I think that's where our focus has to be. Bob, also, our local institutions, I've been talking to a lot of our educators and to our hospital executives. It's brutal there. You know, in the hospitals where they're getting ready for this surge, they don't have they don't have enough personal protective equipment. And one of the reasons they're postponing elective surgery is to make certain that when we get a surge of the COVID-19 cases, they'll have the protective equipment necessary to give treatment. But that means their revenues are going down, and that is going to hurt them in the long run. That's something we have to have in mind. Our colleges are facing the prospect of having to refund payments to students, particularly for room and board, now that the students have been sent home. And that could be up to $8 million with our state college system. That's really, really tough. And when we get on the other side of this, those institutions have to be strong. Otherwise, for the long run, we'll have a devastating loss of those things that are really important to rural Vermont and rural America.
You mentioned the need to have something like a $1 trillion economic stimulus package passed. You know, I'm thinking back to the last time there was a huge stimulus package after the Great Recession in 2008. Some people thought that Congress bailed out the wrong people, that there was too much done to bail out big banks and big Wall Street firms, not enough done to help their employees and the normal workers. Do you think that was true in 2008, and how do you prevent that happening again?
Well, that's the challenge that we're going to face. I think there were two things in the 08 crisis, and the 08 crisis is really, really different. Number one, we had the Wall Street bailout that people hated. I hated it, and I voted for it. Did I vote for it because I wanted to bail out the banks? Absolutely not. But what I saw was that Main Street was going down. Our colleges couldn't pay their bills. And we had to take that step. And my regret is not so much that we stabilized the financial system. And by the way, that bank bailout, which everybody hated, myself included, was paid back with interest. My regret on that is that nobody went to jail. Some of those bankers who did all that horrible, horrible stuff with the mortgage-backed securities, they should be sitting in jail right now. The stimulus, by all accounts, was very, very helpful in shortening our recession. And you contrast what we did, where it was about a three-quarters of a trillion-dollar stimulus. Our recovery was much faster than what happened in Europe, which was very stagnant for a long time. But I think we should learn some lessons. I think the focus has to be on stabilizing family finances and stabilizing state government. And those were things that we did to some extent, but not enough in the last stimulus. And that's where I'd like to have us really focus our efforts this time.
Congressman, a lot of folks might be wondering, what are you doing to protect yourself, your staff? You're flying back and forth between Vermont and Washington. Any apprehension about getting into those planes? And is your staff working remotely? And what about you?
Well, Bob, we've really changed. First of all, my staff is working remotely, and that, I think, is pretty much across the board in Congress. Second, we're not flying back and forth. You know, we're home this week on a regularly scheduled district work period, but we're not going back. We're scheduled to go back on the 23rd next Monday, and we're not going back. And we had a conference call yesterday, and I don't know when we will go back. And when we do go back, there is some risk in flying. The anticipation right now is that when we vote on the floor, normally there's like 600 people on the floor between members and staff, that we'd vote like alphabetically and only have no more than like 30 or 40 people on the floor when we do vote. So this is a work in progress for us. We had a press conference yesterday, and it was a little bit, and you were there, I was a little bit concerned about that because we had people in that room. But if you noticed, all of us were keeping our distance from one another, and we'll continue that. And for me, I'm spending an immense amount of time on the phone because I'm checking in with the Vermonters who are on the front line, businesses, our hospitals, our daycare providers. What are they facing? What do they have to do? And I just want to acknowledge that the really hard work is being done here at the local level, trying to keep all the balls in the air so that we can get through this. And I think my job is hard enough, but it's really simple in a way. We've got to get the resources back to the states and to the individuals and to these small businesses. But the actual implementation of providing healthcare services, and God bless our healthcare workers who know that this is a serious illness and they're exposed to it. We have to make certain they have the gear they need to be as protected as they possibly can be. But the real challenge is at that day-to-day level. Farrell Distributing, they deliver all over the state. How do they keep those trucks running? How do they keep the people healthy? How do they deal with the downturn in revenues? How do they accommodate that? These are real everyday challenges. And I'm in great admiration of our folks who are facing that. But our job is to be supportive of them and supportive of the governor's efforts.
So would you expect this big stimulus package to come before Congress in the next week or two?
I don't know that it will. You know, it's a real difficult situation right now because all the members are in their home districts. And right now I know what's happening is that the Speaker's office is in discussions with the White House about a big stimulus package. We see the President saying we need one, and that's good. And my view is that the focus has to be on the public health necessity of social distancing. Once we decide that, we have to acknowledge there's a huge economic consequence to that, that consequence falls most harshly on individuals who, by and large, live paycheck to paycheck. You know, some of our industries, like airlines, they're really going through a tough time now. We know that. But when we get on the other side of this, they've got a great business model, and they'll be okay. They'll be part of the discussion about what we do. But if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you miss a mortgage payment, you miss a rent payment, your credit goes bad, that's tough to recover from. And it's not the fault of individuals at this point. It's a result of this pandemic that started thousands and thousands of miles away. So this is where government has to be there for the people that we represent.
Congressman Peter Welch, I'm sure we'll be talking to you many times in the days and weeks ahead. Many thanks for taking the time to be on the program today.
Well, thank you very much, Bob, and for VPR, keeping people informed.